Welcome to the Friedreich Ataxia edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the FA community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Welcome to the Rare Care Podcast, where we interview people making a difference in the treatment of rare diseases. My guest today is Maureen Yipe of Grosse Pointe, a suburb of Detroit. Maureen is the mother of two children, 18-year-old Jake and 16-year-old Claire, both of whom have Friedreich ataxia, also known as FA. In addition, she's the newly elected secretary of the Pennsylvania-based Friedreich Ataxia Research Alliance, or FARA. Thank you for joining us, Maureen from Michigan.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Tell us a bit about your family and how this disease has affected you all.
Sure. So my husband and I have five children. Jake is our oldest. He just turned 18. Claire is our second oldest. She's 16. And then we have Katie, Ellie, and Tommy, who are all their younger siblings. And when Jake was in the fourth grade, we noticed that he was starting to get clumsier than the rest of his friends. And when his other friends were getting better at sports, it seemed like he was tripping more and just becoming generally more clumsy. So through a series of doctor's appointments, we ultimately came to a clinical diagnosis of Friedreich's ataxia, and that was confirmed with a genetic diagnosis. And because he was the oldest of five kids, we decided to test the other children to see if they also would develop the symptoms of FA. And it turned out that Claire did have the disease. It's been a journey, certainly, and the kids have been through a lot. Jake has gone from running and walking and playing on sports teams with his friends to slowly losing the ability to walk. He switched to a walker for a while and now is a full-time wheelchair user. Claire is still independently ambulatory, but it's getting harder and harder for her as she walks. But despite those challenges, the kids have really embraced the opportunity to be part of the solution. So they have volunteered for a tremendous amount of clinical research. They've participated in a lot of trials over the years, and they continue to participate in the natural history study, which is such an important thing for FARA.
And I understand that they continue to be athletes, or Jake is continuing to compete in athletic events.
Absolutely. He's going for his third straight state championship in the 100 meter adaptive dash. And then this year he's also adding the 200 meter wheelchair race. So Yes, it's been a fantastic thing that he has had the opportunity to participate in the adaptive sports through the state of Michigan. He participates on behalf of his school with his classmates. He's on the bus right now, heading across the state. And it's been a really exciting part of his high school career.
Wonderful. You obviously have a very positive attitude towards a situation that could get many families down. Could you describe when you found out about the diagnosis? What was that like?
Yeah, well, I mean, it honestly takes your breath away when you hear that your kids are diagnosed with a disease that at the time had no treatment and no cure. And it really does in an instant change the future that you envision for your children, for your family, for the whole life ahead. We were very fortunate because very early on in the journey, we discovered FARA, and they were such a bright light in all of the darkness of that diagnosis.
In fact, that was my next question. You have not only become a parent of not a child, but children with a rare disease, but a patient advocate as well.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. We wanted to definitely be part of the solution. We want to be part of finding, the next generation of treatments and working towards a cure for FA, hopefully in time for our kids, but certainly in time for all of the people who are yet to be diagnosed.
That's wonderful. So the focus of your work, as I understand it, is fundraising. Can you talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we know that, from our perspective at least, we think that research into Friedreich's ataxia and advancing knowledge about the disease is going to be the key to those breakthroughs that we need in additional treatments and therapies for FA. But that, of course, takes money, and that, takes funding. And if not us, then who, right? So someone early in the diagnosis said to us, they need to do this. They need to put money into this. And my husband and I said, who's they? It's us. We, the families, are the ones who it's on our shoulders. This is a rare disease, and funding is sparse across the board, you know, everywhere, but in particular in rare disease. And so if we want to make a difference, then it's up to us to make that difference. And so our family decided to host a fundraiser, and we do that each year.
So talking about dollars and cents, because money does drive research, how much are you hoping to raise and how much have you raised?
So our goal each year is to break $100,000. And so this will be, I believe, coming into this fall, I believe it will be our eighth annual fundraiser. The first year we started smaller and we have grown to that, and we haven't always hit our $100,000 goal, but we have exceeded it in some years, and we are optimistic that this year is going to be another banner year.
Great. So how do you go about raising funds? Every patient advocate group has its own program. Either it's, you know, from the common bake sales or art auctions, et cetera. Some auction off livestock. I was at a Cure Duchenne meeting recently in Florida, where a Montana cattle rancher, actually, who has a son with Duchenne, actually sells cattle to raise money.
That's fantastic. I love it. I love how every family comes up with what works for them. For us, we have a lot of kids, and we have a wide network of people who just genuinely like to be together and are really supportive of the cause. So for us, we actually show a movie. We have a drive-in movie, and we make it a big event. People come together. We have ice cream and popcorn, and it's a really fun night out. We sell sponsorships, and people who are sponsors get their name up on the big screen before the movie airs. And so, yeah, so for us, that's the way the event comes together.
That's wonderful. Now, you're also a newly elected secretary of FARA. What does that mean? What do you do as secretary, and how do you go about enlisting other people in the cause?
Yes. Well, so it's an absolute honor. I have so much respect for the organization of FARA, for its founders and our CEO. I think that it is such a role model in terms of a research alliance and patient advocacy organization. So it's my absolute honor to be part of the team. And so our responsibility as a board is to help provide strategic direction for the research that's coming to the forefront. We are very fortunate because there are a lot of really brilliant researchers out there looking at Friedreich's ataxia and advancing knowledge. And so it's our honor to help facilitate conversations and collaboration between those researchers and really try to use the synergy of everyone working together to make those advancements move, with a sense of urgency.
On that note, I just wanted to ask, maybe we can wrap up because we're almost out of time. Where do you see the future of research going? Gene therapy obviously has recently been approved for this disease. There are other avenues being pursued. What do you make of current progress towards a treatment and possibly a cure for Friedreich's ataxia?
Yeah, well, so we, as you know, reached a very exciting milestone last year with the approval of our first treatment for Friedreich's ataxia. It was a huge celebration, not only in our family, but across the entire community. And to have access to a treatment that slows progression or has the opportunity to slow progression is just absolutely tremendous, but it's just the beginning. So I think the future is very bright. I think there are other treatments in the works. I think there's going to need to be a cocktail approach. I think it's not just going to be one treatment that is going to satisfy. The FA is a multi-system disease. And so I think there's going to be multiple treatments that are required to make meaningful impact. And so, yes, I think there is, we're exploring all of those options between frataxin replacement, between gene therapies, all sorts of different therapeutic approaches that are being researched and explored.
Thank you very, very much for talking with us. We've been speaking with Maureen Yipe of suburban Detroit, Michigan, about her family. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you for listening.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.